You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Welcome to the new edition of the podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. So I always say, a good place to start is at the beginning. In this case, the beginning of the universe.
You mean the Big Bang?
Nope. No, I don't.
Yes, you know, almost 14 billion years ago when the cosmos exploded out of a Big Bang singularity, a teeny tiny point with infinite density. It's so famous they even named a sitcom after it.
I know what you mean by the Big Bang, Brendan. I'm just saying that it may be an illusion.
What? No.
Maybe, just maybe. That's according to a trio of astrophysicists jointly based at the Perimeter Institute in Waterloo and at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada. They've been looking at the possibility that our universe, with its three dimensions of space and one of time, is actually floating through a higher dimensional reality.
Floating?
But pinned on a brain.
Brains.
That was a good zombie voice there, Brendan. Thank you. But not those kinds of brains.
Yes, I know that. I am a physicist, you know, not a biologist. You mean brains. B-R-A-N-E-S. As in membranes. I've heard this idea before. It's been around for a while. There's a bigger five-dimensional universe that has four spatial dimensions, one more than our universe, and a single time dimension. Within this higher dimensional bulk universe is a brain with three spatial dimensions. That's our universe. And all of us paltry three-dimensional people are stuck to this brain. We don't get to experience the extra spatial dimension usually. What does all this have to do with the Big Bang?
So that's the new part. Niyashev Shorty and his colleagues proposed that if there was a 5D star in the bulk universe...
A 5D star. Okay, four spatial dimensions, one time. I'm with you.
And the star exploded, just as stars in our universe do.
Boom! Supernova.
Then, as part of it collapsed into a black hole...
A higher dimensional black hole.
It would eject out a brain, which would then house our universe.
Of course it would.
You nearly choked.
Of course it would.
Well, if I can't convince you, then maybe Afshordi can. He spoke with me earlier and explained why he and his colleagues are frustrated with the traditional Big Bang picture.
So there are a bunch of weird things about the Big Bang. The weirdest thing is that how can you make a universe that is completely homogeneous and isotropic out of some violent explosion? Because I mean, usually think of an explosion as some chaotic thing. And how could this chaotic thing lead to something that's perfectly homogeneous?
As astrophysicist Niyash Afshordi notes there, it is difficult to explain how a violent Big Bang explosion led to a universe that looks homogeneous or similar in every direction. In particular, astronomers have made detailed measurements of the cosmic microwave background radiation bath, which provides a temperature map of our universe in its infancy. It shows that no matter how far you look out across the sky, the universe was at an almost identical temperature. This is tough to make sense of, because not enough time has passed since the apparent birth of the universe, some 13.8 billion years ago, for the temperature to have evened out across such large distances. The standard explanation for the homogeneity of the universe is that the infant cosmos went through a rapid burst of faster-than-light inflation, stretching out a small homogeneous patch into our vast, uniform cosmos. But, Afshordi argues, there are problems with the model of inflation, too.
But if you just look harder at this inflation, you see that if you go back to the beginning of inflation, you have essentially all the same problems. I mean, why do you start with the same state and with a homogeneous patch of the universe? Why should be a huge homogeneous patch that's uniform? So the critics of inflation basically say that all the problems that inflation was supposed to solve, it doesn't really.
Cosmologists also cannot explain what happened when the Big Bang singularity, the point of infinite energy and density, exploded outwards. They do not currently have a theory of physics that can describe singularities, or how and why the Big Bang happened in the first place.
Yeah, and then the other problem with early universe is that when basically the densities get very high, our theories of physics, quantum mechanics, and gravity, we don't really have a satisfactory understanding of how they work together. And it becomes necessary to have this understanding to have a description of Big Bang. So the problem with being next to singularities, having natural singularities, is that since you don't understand what's happening there, if you're affected, if you're in the causal future of a singularity, then you cannot really use your theory because it is an unknown piece, basically, which is what's happening. Are stuff coming out? Are dragons coming out of singularities? Are gorillas coming out of singularities? So these are all possibilities. All we know is that the theories fail, so everything can go. This is similar to this map making that ancient map makers, that beyond the boundaries of their maps, there could be dragons and such. So these are the problems with the explosion. This explosion, you don't really understand its physics because this is a regime that our understanding fails. And also, your best guess for what it should do doesn't really look like our universe, because your best guess is something very inhomogeneous and chaotic, but our universe is very homogeneous.
To try to explain the origin of the universe, Afshordi and his colleagues, Raziapour Hassan and Robert Mann, who are all jointly affiliated with the University of Waterloo and the Perimeter Institute of Theoretical Physics in Ontario, Canada, revisited the idea that our universe may contain extra dimensions that we do not directly experience. This notion received a boost in 2000 when physicists suggested that our cosmos is confined to a membrane, or brain, floating through a higher, five-dimensional bulk universe.
So the new twist, as you know, that came about, I think, maybe 15 years ago, was that even if there are extra dimensions, they don't have to be tiny as people originally envisaged. They could be big extra dimensions, but we're just kind of constrained to a surface, to a membrane. So then the question is, if you agree that we could live on these types of membranes, how many ways can you live on these membranes? Because we don't obviously see extra dimensions, right? So one way was that, okay, so these extra dimensions are small, but not very small, so maybe about a millimeter or so. So gravity sees it, but other things cannot see it. But the other possibility, which was in some sense even the most radical possibility, and that was by Diwali, Gebadadze, and Porati model, is that, no, these are huge dimensions, but our surface, our membrane, our universe has its own gravity that just lives on the surface, on the membrane. And then the bulk, the higher dimensional space, has its own gravity. So we essentially have our own universe with four dimensions or three dimensions of the space and one dimension of time. It has its own matter and it has its own gravity. But there is this higher dimensional space in which we float as a different type of gravity, and it could have different type of matter as well.
The team realized that within the five-dimensional bulk universe, stars and black holes could form, just as they do in our universe, but with a remarkable difference. During the process of 5D black hole formation, a 4D brain could be ejected, and that brain could house our cosmos.
So we asked the question that if these things are real, then there could be real events that happen, and one of the possible events that could happen in the universe that has gravity and matter is to form black holes.
Right, so this is in the five dimensions.
That's right, in the five dimensions. Even if you have just pure gravity in the five dimensions, it's possible to form a black hole. So the question then is that, so what if that was the beginning of our universe? It wasn't a Big Bang, but rather it was formation of a black hole. So forming a black hole is a violent process. In the course of that action, something comes out of the black hole which looks like our universe. If you actually then trace back the history of that thing that comes out, it looks like it started from a Big Bang, but it wasn't really a Big Bang. It was just a star that collapsed to form a black hole.
So now I'm trying to picture the five dimensions. So you've got a five-dimensional star, and you say that during its collapse, the 4D brain kind of emerges. But where is it emerging? Physically, where is it in the five dimensions, this 4D brain?
So this would be basically enshrouding the black hole. When you form astrophysical black holes in our real space, this is something that astronomers know a lot about. So you would think that everything would fall into a black hole, but if that was the case, you wouldn't see the supernova. But what happens is that the central part collapses into a black hole, but the whole star is a mess. So the outer part, because of the amount of radiation involved, is pushed out and becomes supernova. And you can form black holes, but in the process, a lot of things can be ejected. And basically the proposal here is that our universe is one of the things that ejected in the process of forming this black hole.
In the team's model, our universe is pinned to a brain that surrounds the spherical 5D black hole. It does not do away with singularities entirely, but instead of having a naked singularity at the origin of our universe, the singularity is cloaked behind the 5D black hole's event horizon, the boundary beyond which even light cannot escape. A cloaked singularity is far less of a problem than a naked singularity.
So this is the nice thing about this theory, that there is a singularity hidden behind the horizon of the black hole. That's not going to affect anything that we can see. The same way that formation of black holes in our galaxy from core collapse supernovae doesn't really affect anything outside. The singularity that forms as this five-dimensional black hole forms, that doesn't affect us.
If our universe is floating in a 5D bulk universe, this could help explain why our cosmos is homogeneous and looks almost the same in every direction.
I mean, in some sense, this solves all the problems that inflation is supposed to solve as we go over the problem, because essentially the problem with Big Bang is that it starts universe at a finite time, and then it's hard to imagine how universe would become homogeneous, because those times are microscopic times, and our universe is very big. And as I said, the problem is still persists for inflation, because you have to start inflation at some point, and if the universe is very inhomogeneous, inflation cannot start. But then if you look at this scenario, you have infinite amounts of time, because you had a star or something that existed prior to what we think it was the Big Bang. So it had lots of time to become homogeneous, reach some sort of equilibrium, and then collapse into a black hole.
Okay, although, you know, you sort of described how the explosion of the Big Bang would be very chaotic, and here you've got the collapse of your star, which is also very chaotic. So wouldn't you just cause the same problem again, where even though perhaps your 5D universe is very homogeneous, because you've got this violent process, you kind of mess it all up again?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The question we don't have an answer for. So now, through the collapse, there must be instabilities that develop. Now, the question is that would those instabilities be on a larger scale or a smaller scale? Even though it sounds like formation of a black hole is violent, but it's not really that violent, because black holes are huge and the size of the horizon is really, it's a microscopic huge size. So from that point of view, actually formation of black hole is not necessarily violent. So there would be violent things happening on the scale of the star, but on a small scale, there's plenty of time for things to reach equilibrium.
But there is also a huge amount of observational support for the Big Bang picture. For a start, our universe is expanding outwards, which seems to suggest that, if you turn the clock back, in the past it was much, much smaller and more dense. The black hole picture can reproduce this effect, though, because the team's calculations show that the brain that is ejected out of the higher dimensional black hole would also be expanding outwards. Measuring this effect could have fooled us into thinking that the cosmos was born from a Big Bang singularity, but that may just be a mirage.
Yeah, so the thing is that we don't actually see the Big Bang. What we do see is we see our universe expanding, and then we extrapolate back in time, and we see that if everything is expanding the way that it is, if you extrapolate back in time, at some point everything must have been at the same point, and there would have been infinite density, infinite pressure. So that's the idea, is that this might be a Big Bang, what be an artifact of this extrapolation. It might be just a mirage. I mean, actually, that's what the mirage is, right? You're trying to extrapolate things, and you think that must be there, but it's really a reflection of something else, right? So that extrapolations don't always work, and this might be one of those situations.
Thank you to Niyayesh Afshorty for explaining the team's new model to Zia. Right, so basically, what he's saying is either our universe was pooped out of a black hole, or dragons were created during the Big Bang.
Yeah, I don't think he quite meant that, but sort of. If you visit the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you can find a link to the team's paper, and also a story that I wrote for this for Nature. For that article, I spoke with Giridhvali, one of the originators of the higher dimensional model a few years ago.
Was he convinced?
Oh, well, you'll have to read the article to find out, Brendan. But the bigger question is, are you convinced?
Well, it's a hard question, but it's worth mentioning that the model does deviate from measurements of the cosmic background radiation made by the Planck satellite by 4%, which doesn't sound like much, but is a significant difference. And if they can't bring the model in line with the observations, then it will be ruled out.
Ah, that's the beauty of cosmology these days. We can actually get data to test some of these wild ideas.